This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
This morning, I submitted to President Bush my resignation as Secretary of Health and Human Services.
I think we've accomplished a great deal in a short period of time. As I said to the President, there will always be more work for us to do in Homeland Security.
At this point in my life, the question that I ask myself is, what's most important to me? And what's most important to me is my wife and my home and having more time with both.
A chorus of cabinet resignations this week. Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge, UN Ambassador John Danforth, and Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson, each tendered his resignation this week, bringing to 8 the number of cabinet members who've decided not to serve a second term. 7 remain, including perhaps most prominently Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. NPR Senior News Analyst Dan Shore joined us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And 3 more departures, as we said, from the cabinet this week, and 2 more, 2 important appointments. And let me ask you about them in turn. Former New York City Police Chief Bernard Kerik will replace Tom Ridge as Secretary of Homeland Security.
Yeah, he has a lot of very varied experience, none of it in Washington. So I have to give his second hands. I haven't had the privilege of ever talking to him, but he seems to be a versatile, street-savvy cop who's been everything from Mayor Giuliani's right hand to police commissioner. He supervised training of an Iraqi police force, a job that he left after about 6 months. He was the one who guided President Bush through Ground Zero on that fateful day. And that's it. He is a protege of Mayor Giuliani, which means he rates very high in this administration.
And the CEO of the Kellogg Cereal Company is going to replace Donald Evans as Commerce Secretary. Carlos Gutierrez. What do we know about Mr. Gutierrez?
What do I know about Gutierrez? I know, from having read, that he was born in Havana, and I'll take a chance and say that he's the first and only cabinet officer in the United States who was born in Havana. As you mentioned, he was a chairman of Kellogg Company, as in Kellogg's Corn Flakes. He's supposed to have increased its earnings. He said he began his Kellogg career by selling cereal out of a van in Mexico, so from a van in Mexico to a cabinet post in United States, only in America.
Yeah. The president, as we noted, had asked Defense Secretary Rumsfeld to stay on for a second term. What do you think makes his participation in the second administration seem so critical to the president at this time?
Oh, I think it's very important. First of all, it brings finally to an end the rivalry between him and Colin Powell. Secretary Powell goes, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld stays, so you can guess now who won that final argument. There's also that the president wants to renew his support for Rumsfeld's vision of a transformed military that can better fight the wars of the 20th century. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I think it's very important.
21st century, perhaps.
21st century, yeah. Yes, let me at least get the right century.
Well, it's hard this early in a new century to always place it. Yeah.
It's hard this hour of the morning.
In a new millennium, for that matter, yeah.
What it means also is that after Rumsfeld accepted responsibility for the prisoner abuse in Iraq, and after much talk of the Pentagon's inadequate preparation for the occupation of Iraq, it means that the president sticks with him. So,
let me ask you about developments that have become more public in the past week. Senator Norm Coleman, Republican from Minnesota, has called for the resignation of U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan. He wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal this week that said that Mr. Annan ought to resign because of the widespread abuses in the U.N. oil for food program that happened under his watch. Review for us what we know about this scandal and the allegations.
Well, you will recall that what the United States and the United Nations did as they levied sanctions against Saddam Hussein was to say the people will suffer from these sanctions. So in order to help the people, we will allow them to sell a certain amount of oil, and it was called the Oil for Food Program. It later developed that Saddam Hussein, who was supposed to administer that program, took billions and billions for himself and ladled it out to anybody he wanted to.
Including some foreign officials, allegations.
Including some foreign officials. And in the end, it turned out that the scandal was so great that an investigation was called for. There's a commission headed by by Paul Volcker, the former Fed chief. And before that has come in, it's become a political problem now. As you mentioned, Senator Coleman now wants resignation. The president says he doesn't see that the resignation is indicated. Secretary Powell also says that. And they're trying to hold the fort at least until you get a report by Volcker's commission. But Kofi Annan's days are numbered in this job, I think.
Let me ask you about events in Ukraine this week, where the Ukraine Supreme Court has ordered a new runoff presidential election to be held on December 26th. This last month's vote has prompted both Poland, the United States, and Russia to express themselves and how they think the situation should be resolved. Now, at the heart seems to be this struggle over whether Ukraine is going to be in the East or the West in the foreseeable future.
Well, that's right. It's as though they hadn't quite finished the Cold War. There is President Bush, there's President Putin, and they're taking different positions on a free vote in Ukraine. I think that Putin may have made a very serious mistake in openly backing the outgoing president, outgoing Prime Minister Leonid Kuchma, the president who had picked Prime Minister Yanukovych to succeed him, and then all the masses turned out with orange ribbons to back the opposition candidate. They blocked access to government buildings. They as much as saying, Mr. Putin, Ukraine is no longer in the Soviet Union, you get lost. Meanwhile, by the way, there's a funny thing that's happened, is that Yushchenko has been in the hospital suffering from mysterious ulcers and lesions, and the doctor's saying they find no evidence of poison. Well, I don't know what that means, so I'll have to wait until we find out something.
Okay. Quite visible lesions, as a matter of fact, if you're able to see the pictures. How firm do you think the date for January elections in Iraq is?
Well, Prime Minister Alawi has said that they will be on January 30th. He has turned down the request of many Sunni parties for postponement. President Bush says there'll be no postponement. American officials argue, I think with some merit, that if the election is postponed once, the insurgents will take heart from that and be encouraged to intensify the conflict. And yet, the insurgency goes on with such force that you just wonder how they can do it. And so, it is on for January 30th, up until the time somebody changes that.
And finally, the jailed Palestinian leader Marwan Barghouti now says he will run in the upcoming Palestinian elections after all, what we Americans might be inclined to call a James Michael Curley declaration from prison. Yes, I will run. How do you think his candidacy might affect the contest?
Well, I think he's very popular. He may be one of the most popular people around there. How exactly he can campaign from jail, where he's supposedly serving five consecutive life sentences, whatever that means. But I think what is happening is that a big reshuffle is going on among Palestinian politicians trying to set course for what's going to happen now that Arafat is gone.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure.